Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm very glad to tell you that our good buddy, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, is back on the show. Bill is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, over 10 years. We've been the happy beneficiaries of his outstanding work, where he produces the NFIB's Survey of Small Business Conditions, and he's been doing this now for decades, since the 70s. There is no greater example of outstanding small business research than Bill Dunkelberg's. It is the standard and will be probably forever. He's our good friend, Bill Dunkelberg. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you here. And he's, as I may have mentioned, is the chief economist for the NFIB and a professor of economics at Temple University. Bill, I'm looking at your commentary, and it says your index has been below 93 every month since January of 2008. Is that a record?
Oh yeah. This means this is indeed the longest recession in recent history. Now, of course, we don't go back before 1970, so there could have been, but I don't think there were any.
I don't think there were. This is
the longest. Certainly, our guys and gals.
And so you're calling it a recession, even though technically we've been out of it for over a year. In terms of the small business Main Street marketplace, this indicator is a recessionary indicator, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. The current reading, which is 88.7, that's being below 90, that's really unusual. You go back to 1980, 82 period, which was terrible, right?
Right. We had a double dip recession.
Yeah, we were only below 90, I think, for one quarter. Here we've got, eight quarters that we've been below that 93 reading, and most of that has been below 90. There are a couple of times we popped just above it a little bit. That's why I say below 93, because I did get one month there that we popped up. So, really it's been a tough go, and it still is. And, of course, one reason why the growth numbers of the economy don't look good is that our half of the economy, and we produce half of the private GDP in the small business, we're not growing.
Yeah.
And so you take zero and average it with something, and you get a much smaller number.
Well, there are a number of pressures on that growth issue, and one of them, of course, is just the overall economy itself. But another thing is the growth is the lack of growth is somewhat self-imposed, isn't it?
Well, I guess you could call it self-imposed. I mean, it's just rational decision making. We choose to grow and spend money to grow and finance growth, which is what it takes when it looks like investing in growth will pay off.
When those risks are justified.
Right. When it looks like if you're going to spend $30,000 to hire a new worker, that the worker can bring at least $30,000 of value to the firm to pay for him or herself. That's the logical way that a business has to work. And, of course, if the business makes the wrong decision, that's when we have to fire people. I mean, you never guaranteed anything, as we know.
Right.
You got to go out, work hard, and earn it. So it's self-imposed just in the sense that, people aren't being logical about looking at the future. Why spend your hard-earned money and saved money on an investment that won't pay off? So you don't buy inventories if consumers aren't buying them, and you don't buy hire workers if they can't add value, and you don't buy a new piece of equipment to make output when you can't sell what you got now.
Well, the other thing, but it's more than just buying stuff, Bill, because most of the time when small business owners buy stuff that's not operating stuff, that's more of a long-term decision like equipment or even maybe a significant employee, like a manager or something like that, a lot of times that money, that initial capitalization, is from borrowed money. And that's another blink level for small business owners right now. It's not just, am I worried about the risk of growing the business, but growing means I've got to sign on the dotted line for some more debt, and I'm uncomfortable about that.
Well, that's
what we're hearing.
I mean, it's, if you, you know, if you're going to borrow $30,000, even at zero interest rate, you get a really good deal here. If you have no interest charge, you still have to pay the money back. So, again, you won't borrow $30,000, hire a worker who doesn't have the good promise of earning you $30,000, because you've got to pay the money back. And that's the issue right now. So,
well, the other thing,
you know, it's, we're kind of in we're kind of in maintenance mode. You know, if a worker dies on the job, I guess we'll replace them. And if the equipment dies, or if the roof leaks, we'll fix it. But capital spending that, you know, that our members report is at a 35-year low. That is, we still have 44% making some kind of a capital expenditure in the last 6 months. But that's never, it's never been that low in our 35-year survey history.
We're going to continue this discussion and get Bill's report, the rest of Bill's report, as we move through his visit with us through the rest of the hour. It's almost 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Bill Dunkelberg.
As I was walking down the street one day,
welcome back. 17 till. That's the small business anthem right there. Surely, I know that. I know the Atlanta Rhythm Section didn't know that when they wrote, when they did that song. But do it no matter what the people say. Do it or die. When everything goes wrong, you gotta be strong and do it or die. That's what, that's our, that's our theme song, isn't it, small business owners? Welcome back. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm glad you're here. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there, including the incredible body of work that Bill Dunkelberg has deposited with us over the years. Bill is our guest right now. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter when you get to that, my website, also the blog, the archives. And, of course, my knowledge base is there. And the poll question. Don't forget to take the poll question while you're there. It's a different one every week. Bill Dunkelberg and I are talking about his survey of small business conditions that he conducts every month and has been now for decades. Bill, the labor market is there's still no life there, and there are two elements, it seems to me. I've been talking and writing about this myself in my own amateur economist way. I'm not a real economist. I just know people like you, Bill. But it seems that there's a cyclical unemployment, which is because of the downturn. And then my respondents to our polls are demonstrating that there's a structural unemployment element in there, where there are jobs that we've lost that aren't going to come back because they're going to be replaced by technology. What do you think?
Well, that's probably true. I mean, that's always been the deal. I use as an example for my audience is many times the agricultural sector. 50 years ago, 11 million people in agriculture, a much smaller country 50 years ago, mouths to feed. Today, under 2 million, and they still make too much food. And they, you know, why? Well, because we invented the tractor and fertilizers and special seed. I mean, that's productivity, and that's, you know, all those manufacturing jobs people worry about. They say we're losing them overseas. No. Most of the manufacturing jobs that are happening overseas are because our companies are bigger. If you're going to sell in China, you got to make some stuff in China, you know. But most of the jobs we've lost in manufacturing are to productivity, and that's just the way it goes. We need fewer people to make a car every year. That's productivity. But so if you look at the share of our GDP that goes to manufactured goods, that's actually been on the rise. Forgetting about the recession problem that we had, it's really been rising, and will continue to rise, especially if the dollar stays weaker, so more people buy our Caterpillar output and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, Bill, I saw a report a couple of years ago that said the country that had lost the most manufacturing jobs in the last decade was not the United States, it was China, and it wasn't because of any reason except because of technology.
Exactly, productivity.
Yeah.
You know, you bring a tractor in, and suddenly farming changes, and they're doing that because they're, you know, from that perspective, they're, you know, 100 years behind us. They don't have any of that technology yet, so they're buying tractors and all that stuff and putting it to work, and it frees people up to do other kinds of jobs.
What are we going to do about that, though, Bill? Because this is you and I mean, I had never seen, this is my seventh recession, Bill. I had never seen a jobless recovery until the one earlier in the last decade. Now we've had two, we're having two in a row in less than 10 years. there seems to me that there's a training issue, there's an allocation of resources issue here. I mean I'm not, you know me, I'm not railing against progress, but it seems like we've got to do something to get people back to work.
Well, you know, that's true. I mean, the last jobless were kind of, well, actually 90, 91, and 2001 were kind of jobless, especially 2001. But the main reason those didn't give you a big spontaneous surge in employment after the recession is that we didn't fall very far there. 2001 almost wasn't even a recession.
Yeah.
So if you don't fire lots of people, you don't have a huge hiring that follows on. So those jobless recoveries, so-called, are different than this one. What we were expecting was a hiring boom like we saw in 1983 after the very, very bad 80-82 period, and that's
right.
What hasn't come, and I think we understand why, mm-hmm. because, of course, the two things that led us out of 83, the ones that usually lead us out of recession, consumer spending and housing,
right.
Those are dead.
Both of those are dead, and automobiles, of course, automobiles have picked up a little bit, but we always were able to count on housing and automobiles to bring the economy back, weren't we?
Yeah, well, autos don't generate many jobs, of course. I mean, the president showed his unawareness of these things when his job summit had people attend, like J.P. Morgan's head or GE or these big companies, bless their hearts, they give us good stuff cheaply because
right.
they are, productivity's big there, but they don't generate jobs. You know, we generate jobs, and the main
small
source of job generation
right.
is just new small businesses.
Yep. Yep.
Every year we grow by a million plus people.
Well, and that's another issue, Bill. Right now, because of the financial crisis we have, there's an extreme downward pressure on startups. I mean, people aren't able to start businesses like they were in the last two recoveries.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, in one way, it's a good time to start a business because everything's cheap.
Right.
You know,
but the
next day you need customers once you open the door, and they're the ones that are missing, and that's why we're having trouble.
The main thing, though, Bill, is that my business got started in '89 with my personal credit, home equity, and the personal credit that I have.
Right.
A lot of people who has home equity anymore? Who has
yeah.
The credit cards are cutting back on credit lines. I mean, that kind of thing is really hurting startups. So those are headwinds, folks, that we're the reality that's creating the numbers that Bill is talking about. When we come back, I'm going to ask Bill about inflation and profits and how the credit market's doing. He's got a report on all that after these messages. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, and that website for him is nfib.com. And smallbiz.org, B-U-S. Is that right, Bill?
Small That's biz? Right, B-U-S, not B-I-Z.
Smallbus.org. Stand by. Quick break.
So like the ball.
Welcome back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for staying with me. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. He's chief economist with the NFIB. That's NFIB.com. You can find Bill's report there, the survey of business conditions that he's been conducting for 30-something years. Index of Small Business Optimism, I guess. That's the official name, isn't it, Bill?
Hey, that's what we call it.
And so I should be using his name, shouldn't I, folks?
Or somebody on the did an interview the other day, and they said, now for the Index of Small Business Pessimism.
Well, that's kind of what it's become in the last couple
that's
of years.
Right, it has. I had to chuckle.
Yeah. And so, folks, you can find it there. You can find it at NFIB at his own website, smallbus.org. Also, he's gracious enough to allow us to post his survey on our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Bill, the good news is we have very low, if no, inflation. And the bad news is that means we're really close to deflation. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, that's right. I think the bad news is that, we still have four more business owners who tell us they're cutting their average selling prices than raising them. It just means that, you know, nominal sales are going down. Even
yep.
if you sell the same amount of stuff, you're getting less revenue.
And profit margins.
Right. So that hurts the profit margins and, price cutting. The inflation numbers for the economy are, in a sense, right where you want them to be, just a little above zero. So we don't like inflation, but we also don't like deflation.
Are we in danger of that?
Well, probably not. To get deflation, you have to really have a major change in the mindset of people. That is, deflation would only become a real risk if the economy really takes another tankeroo.
Yeah.
And then prices really do start falling.
Well, housing
kind
prices
of everywhere.
Housing prices are still coming down.
Yeah, and they probably need to a bit more. And the mindset of people has to be that if I wait till tomorrow, it'll be a lower price. Well, once everybody starts waiting, then you spiral down, and that's the risk. I don't see that as a real risk here. We've got a million new people in the country. They eat, they sleep somewhere, they drive cars, that's where the fundamental growth is, and that's where we get a lot of new business starts. We need a new barbershop and a new nail salon and a new restaurant, and that drives a lot of the job creation in our country. So I think there's enough fundamental demand, if you will, along with the fact that the longer this recession goes, the more stuff stops working and we have to replace it, kind of thing, that keeps us growing, crawling but growing. I don't see a real risk.
How many more years are we in for this, Bill?
Well, it's going to take, given that we're not growing very quickly, a long time. I mean, if you look at the job numbers, if you wanted to get us back to 2007, which means hiring back all the 8 million that lost their job in the recession and keeping up with the 100,000 jobs a month you need for population growth, you're looking at 300,000 plus jobs a month every month for 3 years. Well, that's going to be a tall
order. We don't have that first month even in sight, do we?
No, we don't. So
that's 3 years more.
Yeah, and again, a lot of this is just is psychology. 73% of our owners said this is not a good time to expand. 67% of that bunch of those who said it's not a good time said the reason is the economy's weak, but almost 20% said it's the political climate. Now, if it's top of mind for 20% of them, it's like second on the list for lots of other people. That uncertainty, when you're not sure about the future, you don't commit to hiring and spending.
Could there be a dam-breaking phenomenon happen in terms of attitudes by consumers, by business owners, if there's a significant shift in the political landscape in November?
I think you're exactly right. A couple of years ago, our company, USA Incorporated, got into trouble. We put a new management team in. They've had 2 years. We can't understand what policies they chose to pursue for the company. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem to address the issue. We're going to have a shareholders meeting November 2nd, and we're going to put in some new management. I think that will make both consumers and small business owners more optimistic about the future.
If we don't change
the management team, we'll be pessimistic.
There's an awful lot of emotion. That's a big emotional component in the economy, isn't there?
A lot of psychology in this one,
There's no question. Credit.
About it.
Is credit improving at all?
Well, it is gradually. I mean, our regular borrowers have told us that credit has stayed tight, but every month it seems to get a point better, and it's nothing that we didn't see, for example, in the 1983 expansion.
Yeah.
So there's really nothing unusual happening on that. Only 4% of the owners say credit's a problem. 91% said they got all the credit they wanted or didn't want any, and that included a record 52% who said, I don't even want a loan. I don't have any use for the money.
That's exactly what my audience is telling me as well in the polls we take. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Great job today, as always. We'll see you next
time. Thanks, Jim. Great to talk to you.
Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he is the best. He's the standard. His work. And we're proud to be part of one of the recipients of it. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.